Okay, so picture this. You think of home as your sanctuary, right? Like a place where you feel safe and you have the right to protect yourself. But what about those spaces that are just outside your front door, like your porch? Is that considered part of that same protected space? That's a question that came up in a California court case back in 1992, People v. Brown.
Right. Yeah, that's a really fascinating case. And it really boils down to an argument between a homeowner, this guy Johnny Brown, and a bricklayer that he hired, Jason Neal. Basically, they got into it about some work that Neal was doing on Brown's property, building a brick flower bed. And well, things escalated. It ended with Brown actually shooting Neal while he was standing on his front porch right there outside the door.
Wow. So, what happened? I mean, what led up to the shooting?
Well, it seems like the whole thing started with a pretty simple contract dispute, right? Brown hired Neal to build this brick flower bed, but then they disagreed about the quality of the work, how it was coming along. Brown also had guests coming over, and he was worried that the work wouldn't be finished in time. But then, even after Brown told Neal to just leave and stop working, Neal came back with somebody else to keep working on the flower bed. Another argument broke out, and Brown went back inside his house. But then things got really out of hand. Neal started using a hammer to damage the brickwork that was already there, really messing it up. So Brown came back outside and told him to stop. And according to Brown's testimony, Neal turned toward him in a threatening way with that hammer raised.
Oh, okay, so that's when Brown shot him.
Right. From inside his house, Brown shot Neal in the leg while Neal was still standing on the front porch. He was only about 5 feet away from the doorway.
So it sounds like a pretty clear-cut case of self-defense. I mean, Neil was threatening him with a hammer, right?
Well, that's what Brown argued. But it wasn't quite that simple, legally speaking. Brown was charged with assault with a deadly weapon and personal use of a firearm.
Okay, but why? I mean, it sounds like he was just protecting himself.
Well, this is where the case gets really interesting. You see, Brown's lawyer asked the judge to give the jury instructions based on this specific law in California, Penal Code Section 198.5. It's often called the Home Protection Bill of Rights, and it essentially creates a legal presumption in certain situations.
Okay, so tell me more about this presumption. What is it exactly, and how does it work?
So basically, PC 198.5 says that if somebody unlawfully and forcibly enters your residence and you use deadly force against them while they're inside that residence, the law automatically presumes that you had a reasonable fear of death or great bodily injury.
So what does that mean, practically speaking? I mean, why is that presumption so important?
Well, it's a pretty big deal because it shifts the burden of proof in a self-defense claim. So instead of you, the homeowner, having to prove in court that you were reasonably afraid for your life, the prosecution would have to prove that you weren't. It flips the script.
Interesting. So in Brown's case, the argument was about whether Neil's actions on the porch qualify it as him unlawfully and forcibly entering Brown's residence.
Exactly. That was the core legal question in People v. Brown. Did Neil's presence and actions on that front porch, while he was damaging the property and allegedly threatening Brown, count as an unlawful and forcible entry into a residence under PC 198.5. And that's where things get really interesting, because the court had to define what residence meant in this specific context.
Right, because we usually think of residence as meaning the interior of your home, not necessarily your porch or your yard.
Right, and the court made a point of noting that this was a typical front porch, unenclosed, connected directly to the public sidewalk, with no gates, fences, or anything else, to really create a separate private space. So they had to decide if that specific area was legally considered part of Brown's residence for the purpose of this law.
And what did they decide?
They decided it did not. The court said that an unenclosed front porch like that is not considered part of the residence for purposes of PC 198.5. They based this decision on what's known as the reasonable expectation test.
Okay, so explain this test for me. What's the reasonable expectation test all about?
Well, the court basically asked, would a reasonable person living in that home have a reasonable expectation of being protected from unauthorized intrusion while they were standing on that open porch? They figured that because it was so open and accessible from a public area without any clear boundary, a homeowner couldn't really expect the same level of privacy and security there as they would inside their actual house.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, anyone could walk up to your front porch, like a delivery person or a neighbor. It's not really the same as someone breaking into your house.
Right. And the court acknowledged that Neal's actions, damaging the property and allegedly threatening Brown, they might support a claim of traditional self-defense, like the argument that Brown was reasonably afraid of getting hurt. But that's different from automatically triggering the presumption under PC 198.5, which specifically requires an unlawful and forcible entry into the residence itself.
So even though Brown was inside his house when he shot Neil, the court was focused on where Neil was standing and whether he had crossed that legal threshold of the residence.
Exactly. The law is really about protecting the sanctity of your actual dwelling, that inner space where you have the highest expectation of safety. The court was saying that an open porch, just by its nature, doesn't have that same level of protection as the enclosed part of your home.
Okay. So you mentioned earlier that there are four requirements that have to be met for PC 198.5 to apply. Can you walk us through those so we can understand why the court said the first one wasn't met in Brown's case?
Sure. So for that presumption of reasonable fear to kick in, you need to have all four of these elements. First, there has to be an unlawful and forcible entry into a residence. Second, the person entering can't be a member of your family or household. Third, you, the occupant of the residence, have to use deadly force against the intruder while you're inside the residence. And fourth, you have to have known about the unlawful and forcible entry.
Okay, so in Brown's case, they were saying that first requirement wasn't met because Neil wasn't technically inside the residence.
Precisely. The court concluded that because the porch wasn't considered part of the residence for the purposes of this law, Neil being on the porch didn't meet the definition of an unlawful and forcible entry into the residence.
Got it.
Now, I remember reading that one of the judges on the case, Justice Blease, he had a concurring opinion. Did he agree with the majority decision? And if so, did he have a different perspective on the reasoning?
Yeah, that's a good point. Justice Blease did agree with the outcome that the jury shouldn't have been given those instructions based on PC 198.5. But he got there through a slightly different legal analysis. He focused more on the forcible entry part of the statute.
So he thought there wasn't a forcible entry.
Well, he argued that an open porch, because it's open and accessible, can't really be forcibly entered. It's already accessible, right? He said that the idea of forcible entry implies overcoming some kind of resistance or barrier to get into an enclosed space. Since the porch was open, he reasoned that the first requirement of PC 198.5, an unlawful and forcible entry into a residence, just wasn't met, regardless of whether you considered the porch to be part of the residence or not. So it's interesting that the majority of the court focused on defining the word residence, and Justice Blease focused on defining forcible entry. But they both came to the same conclusion. Brown wasn't entitled to that presumption under PC 198.5. Which brings us to another important point for our listeners. Why was denying this specific jury instruction so important for Brown's defense?
Right, because it meant that Brown had to rely on a more general self-defense argument. Without the presumption from PC 198.5, he had the burden of proving to the jury that he genuinely and reasonably feared imminent bodily harm. The presumption would have made the prosecution prove that he didn't have a reasonable fear, which is a much tougher standard to meet.
Got it. So this 1992 case might seem a bit old, but I think it raises a lot of questions that are still relevant today. Like, what does this case tell us about how the law views the spaces just outside our homes? How might this distinction between enclosed and unenclosed spaces play out in situations we encounter in our daily lives?
Well, it definitely has implications for situations you might find yourself in. Think about things like delivery drivers dropping off packages, or unfortunately, those porch pirates that steal packages. According to this case, if you were to confront someone on your open front porch in a situation like that, you probably wouldn't be able to rely on the presumption of PC 198.5. You'd have to fall back on traditional self-defense principles. But, like we talked about with Justice Blease's reasoning, if you had a screened-in porch with a door, that might be considered differently because someone would have to forcibly break in. That might be seen as an unlawful and forcible entry into a space where you have a higher expectation of privacy.
That makes sense. It seems like physical barriers like a door or a gate play a big role in defining what the law considers part of your protected space.
Yeah, definitely. And this actually makes me think of another legal concept that relates to the area around your home, something called curtilage.
Okay, so can you explain curtilage for us? How does that fit into all of this?
So curtilage is a term used in Fourth Amendment law. It basically refers to the area immediately surrounding your house that's considered to be part of your home for purposes of protection from unreasonable searches and seizures. It's treated as an extension of your home itself.
So is that the same as saying that your porch is part of your residence under PC 198.5?
Not necessarily. Even though both concepts deal with the space around your house, the legal tests used to define them are different. With curtilage, Courts look at things like how close the area is to your house, whether it's enclosed, how you use the area, and what steps you've taken to shield it from view. So while the Fourth Amendment might protect your porch from unreasonable searches in certain situations, that doesn't automatically mean it will be considered part of your residence for the purposes of self-defense and PC 198.5. There are separate legal issues with different considerations.
I see. So the law kind of creates these different zones of protection around your home, depending on what right is at stake.
Exactly. And I think this raises some interesting questions about the balance between your right to feel safe in your home and the limits of that right. Like, should homeowners have more legal protection to defend themselves in the areas immediately outside their homes, even if those areas aren't enclosed? Or should we draw a stricter line to protect the public's right to access those spaces?
It's a tough question, and it makes you think about where that line should be drawn. On the one hand, people have a strong right to protect their home and family. But on the other hand, we don't want people using deadly force in situations that don't really warrant it.
Right, exactly. It's all about finding the right balance between those competing interests. And like we saw in People v. Brown, it can get really complicated when you're dealing with these gray areas, those spaces that are kind of in between your private home and the public world.
So I think there are some key takeaways from our deep dive into People v. Brown. First, California law, especially PC 198.5, doesn't treat all parts of your property the same way. There's a clear distinction between the inside of your home and an unenclosed front porch when it comes to that legal presumption of reasonable fear.
Right. And second, having those physical barriers and clear signs of privacy, like a fence or a gate, they really matter when it comes to defining what legally counts as your residence under this law.
And third, whether or not the jury gets instructions based on a legal presumption like PC 198.5, it can make a big difference in the outcome of a self-defense case. It really changes who has the burden of proof.
Absolutely. So, you know, next time you're stepping out onto your porch, think about this case and what it means for your understanding of personal space and security. Where does your safe zone really begin and end? And what are the potential benefits and drawbacks of having this legal distinction between different parts of your property?
It's something for everyone to think about, and it shows how these legal nuances can have a real impact on our lives.
Right. And remember, this case is just one example of how the law grapples with these complex issues, and it's always evolving. So it's important to stay informed and aware of your rights and responsibilities.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into People v. Brown, and we'll see you next time.
See you then.